Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, but serving the entire Washington, D.C. area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, please subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org, which has videos, audio, and special articles on topics of interest to you in the estate and business planning area. And also, finally, make sure that you read my Washington Business Journal article every month, usually the first Friday of every month. Today, we're going to be talking about how to divide your tangible personal property. It's not an easy issue. In fact, it takes up more time than it's worth because usually it's one of the least valuable assets in your estate when you pass away. The last thing a parent wants is to have kids arguing about who gets particular items of furniture or jewelry or other family valuables. These things are known as tangible personal property, or called personal property, and they're contrasted with real estate or stocks and bonds, which are totally different types of assets. In a first marriage, there's usually no particular family complications. Mom and dad leave their personal property to each other. If there are kids, the surviving spouse typically will leave all the personal property equally to the kids, and maybe there are going to be adjustments made where there are specific items of property that the parents wish to go to particular kids. For example, mom may naturally want her jewelry to go to her daughters or daughters-in-law rather than her sons. Dad may want his gun collection or his watch to go to a son rather than a daughter. Sometimes there are specific items of furniture or artwork or specific kinds of tangible personal property that you want to leave to a particular kid, like a piano or a violin, or in my case, a saxophone, when that child plays the instrument. Now, many states like Virginia allow individuals to leave a separate memorandum on how they want personal property to go. This allows you to change your designation from time to time without going through the formality of changing your will. This rule does not apply in Maryland and D.C., which means that every time you want to change your list, you've got to execute it with the formalities of a will, which means go to a lawyer. If one child gets more property than another, you can make an adjustment to help equalize matters by having a lump sum of cash or other property distributed to the kids who did not get particularly valuable items of property. This is an option that sometimes is used when mom and dad are concerned about trying to make things as equal as possible. A lot of parents aren't that concerned about those things. If there's a lot of tangible personal property, then you may want to adopt the following mechanism. I call it the rotation method. Let's say the executor, the person who's responsible for gathering all the assets, is directed to place approximate valuations on items of all personal property in the estate. Each kid then has a chance to choose in rotation. For example, let's assume that there are items of personal property that have a total value of $20,000, and there are four kids, A, B, C, and D. Each kid would be entitled to $5,000 worth of property. Of course, each item of personal property may not have equal value. So each kid, in rotating order, is going to select a particular item. A goes first, B goes second, and so on, until the child has selected items totaling $5,000. Well, what if one of the kids picks a particularly valuable item as the first choice? And what if it's, you know, constitutes 3/4 of the value of all of the items? Well, obviously, there would have to be an equalization made later on. If you're a single person with no kids and you want to leave personal property to other relatives or friends, you can do this using the rotation method as well. A little extra language in your will or in a living trust is required to cover these contingencies. In the long run, paying attention to these details, however, may be well worth the trouble because it's going to avoid arguments or disagreements that could arise after you're gone. In a family where husbands and wives have been previously married, the division of personal property becomes especially complicated and may generate a lot of ill feelings, depending on how much detail you devote to how the property is going to flow following your death. For example, the personal property of each partner shouldn't automatically be given outright to the other partner, although the duration of the second marriage may affect this overall decision. So, if people have been married for a relatively short period of time and there are kids from the first marriage, the kids from the first marriage may expect to receive a distribution of the decedent's personal property rather than leaving it to the spouse. You, as the person writing your will, you, as the person giving that property away, need to consider this. And with proper planning, you can handle this in a way that won't offend either side. On the other hand, if you've been married a long time and the second marriage is really viewed by everybody involved as the overall, you know, good marriage of the parties, then you may want to leave your assets, all your tangible personal property, all your other assets to your surviving spouse, depending on how things are playing out in the estate planning overall. Now, I've seen major conflicts develop between a second spouse and kids of the first marriage, where there were a number of valuable antiques, for example, or a silver collection among the personal effects of the decedent. Sometimes the controversy starts before the actual death occurs, like one of the spouses becomes ill. Not long ago, I was asked by kids of a wealthy executive who was hospitalized with terminal illness to work with them because they were concerned that the wife from the second marriage had basically done away with a lot of the personal property that the husband had accumulated during marriage. So the kids were concerned that the wife was taking property that really didn't belong to her. Well, how do you avoid something like that? For the decedent, you would go through their house with a video camera and take a video or take pictures of the personal property that existed in the premises of the decedent before he gets sick, while he's still healthy, while she's still healthy, while she's still able to understand what the objects of her bounty are, and then compare it to what is there after they're gone. Because if something's missing, then that might lead to the discrediting of the second spouse or the kids, depending on who's in charge of handling these assets. Now, when you're dealing with more valuable pieces, you may want to have them removed from the house and put into a safe place. If the kids don't want them, if the kids don't want the asset itself, you may want to consider giving the executor the power to sell these assets. There are lots of auction houses around the area that can conduct online auctions and in-person auctions to maximize the value of what you get for your personal property after you're gone. Now, a lot of us view the value of our property as being a lot higher than it actually is. In other words, if you bought something at retail, do you think that you'd be able to sell it at retail following your death or even before you die? And the answer is typically no, because there's a markup that's paid above wholesale for your personal enjoyment of that particular item. That particularly applies to jewelry. Jewelry may be marked up 2 to 3 times higher than the original cost paid by the retailer for that item. So what could you expect to get for that item if you were to sell it on the open market? Well, the answer is most likely you're going to get a wholesale price, a price that doesn't include the retail markup. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't insure your tangible personal property while you're alive. For example, you can buy insurance that will protect you to the extent of the retail value or the replacement cost of tangible personal property, particularly jewelry, that you want to make sure that if it is lost or stolen, you can recover the value of that asset by making a claim against your insurance, subject to deductibles. But the idea is that in your estate, you don't want to have fights. You want to make it as easy as possible for everyone. So, for example, you may want to meet with your kids before you pass away, before you get sick, and really figure out what, if anything, they would like to have of yours, and put their names on it, and put values on it. And by dividing the assets up among the kids in a fair fashion, that way you will get a result that the kids will not be upset afterwards, after you go, and they will not, it will not result in a fight that could end up in court. I'll give you an example of how these things really can devolve into a bad situation. The executor of the estate is the person responsible for gathering all the personal property of an individual after they're gone. So let's say you are married and you leave everything to your spouse. That's easy. That's the easy answer. What happens when your spouse dies? Your spouse is appointed, say, one of four kids to serve as the executor. Well, I've seen this situation happen. The kid who's appointed the executor comes into the house and starts removing tangible personal property from the house. The will said that the tangible personal property was to be divided equally among the children. The executor says that the executor's in charge of gathering the property, and the executor has the power to make the determination over how that property is going to be split up. To avoid any ambiguity, you want to make sure that you include details in your will, for example, if you're going to use this rotation method, that the executor is responsible for administering the estate the way you say it is to be administered. And if they don't, if the child goes in and starts removing tangible personal property in violation of the will or in violation of your trust or your wishes, the other heirs will have a cause of action in court against that executor. If you'd like to know more about how to leave your tangible personal property to your heirs, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit my blog at blueprintforwealth.org. I'm Wayne Zell. You're listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and I hope you've got questions for us, because if you do, you can send them to radio@ofplaw.com.